Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, we're talking about, you know, what the strife, when you think about strife, and so God is showing me how in the church, meaning not your building or my building or whatever, but inside our families, inside our life, how there's this strife. And the way he showed me strife was through knives, you know, like knives and kind of symbolism and context of that. And even the word of God says, you know, when you keep biting and devouring each other, you're going to destroy each other. And so when you think about that, if there's strife going on in a relationship, it's painful to your spirit. You feel it in your spirit. And when you have what's called a dysfunctional family, you're looking at a family that's been under a lot of strife. You know, it's a lot of underlying pulling and tugging and pushing and judging and being critical and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if you have that cartoon, but find that cartoon for me there. But then you think about it. So there's like this whole cloud of strife around someone who's struggling with strife. And what he showed me was that, because this whole battle strategy, spiritual storm thing, whatever, that it's the point of it is to divide everything. I wanted to say blow everything apart, but that sounds like a bomb thing. But just divide everything. I mean, the word devil means one who gets in between and divides. And so, you know, bring division, you know, and God hates, there's some things that God hates. And you hear some people cranking off all the time, what, God hates this, God hates this, but they leave out like six other things that God hates, mm-hmm. which they're walking in, you know, and one is strife, right. You know, and so we have to learn to love, because strife is, it wars against love. And how can we as Christians, you know, deliver the message of love to mankind if we're walking around with strife in our life? Mm-hmm. You know, you sit here and, you know, God loves you. And then, you know, your marriage is in turmoil, you know, because you won't deal with the strife in your marriage, or, you know, your family's in turmoil because you just continue to have strife in your marriage while your children are trying to survive the knife throwing. I mean, it's obviously not knives, but spiritual things happening. Or maybe the children are strifeful and you won't deal with the strife with the children. And as we're preparing for this storm that's coming, if you don't deal with that, if you don't deal with the strife that's in your life, because as everything's falling apart like a spiritual earthquake, and there's going to be supposedly some real earthquakes and famine and terrorism, things like that, then you'll just shake apart. I mean, there's nothing, you're not whole. It's just a figment of your imagination. You're not really together, because the devil divides, but God unites. Strife divides, but love unites. You cannot be strifeful and loving at the same time. You got to make up your mind. And God is love. And love is the one thing that holds all things together. And love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Keeps no records of wrong. It denies itself, picks up our cross, and follows the Lord, just like love himself did, Jesus, when he was showing us the face of God and how things are. But then I thought about, because strife can be just ruthless. It's you know, it's amazing how people can just treat people horrifically. I mean, say terrible things, Christians, just terrible things to their spouse, to their children, to pastors, to pastors, and they can do strifeful things, just like terrible things, and then they can sleep really well that night. And my question was always like, well, how can you, how, knowing that this calamity and this destruction that you just caused, is how can you, don't you remember what you just did? Don't you remember the spiritual blood that's scattered everywhere and the betrayal? And don't you see all this thing out there? And so the Lord, because you see this, you feel the strife. But then the Lord began to show him, you don't defeat strife by trying to defeat strife, because you can't throw strife is a byproduct. It is a fruit from a root, and the root is pride. And so pride is blinding. Pride is blinding. If you haven't read the first part, read the first part, throw it away. Final quest, it'll help explain Ephesians 6:12 to you, the spiritual realm, what's going on. But pride is so blinding and it blinds the mind. That's how somebody can sleep at night. That's how somebody can come and just blow you out of the water. They can just devastate you, devastate your marriage, devastate, maybe they're in your marriage and they're devastating your marriage, or maybe their children in your family that are doing things that are bringing great destruction to the family, or parents to the children, or maybe it's in your school, maybe it's in your workplace, maybe it's where your church gathers. But you have to understand it. You can get more empathy for the individual when you understand this, that they're blinded to that. They really do not see, because pride is the issue. The byproduct of that is strife. And so they don't see the pain and the devastation. All they see is themselves. That's all they can see. It's idolatry, it's self. You know, and God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So it's not about perfection. It's about, if I'm going to get rid of strife in my life. And so what you have, since a person can't see, if they can't see, then they really think everybody else is the problem. They show up, they get up in the morning and they talk to their spouse and they think, man, he's still got this issue again. You know, she's got this issue. They talk to the kids like, oh, these kids. They ride down the road and it's like, all these people driving around me, they're just, oh. You know, because a person that's prideful is directing traffic when they're not even the police. And, you know, I've taught, and this is what I talk about the dream. So you get this whole, by the way, we're going to make this whole thing available to you for all of our partners. Make sure that's available to all of our partners inside the partners area for you. We appreciate our partners. And it's about how to defeat strife. And, you know, people get in their cars and they start, you know, yelling at people that are not driving right. And it's like, you just have a thin piece of metal and glass between you and that person you just talked about. But your pride is so blinding, you don't realize that this next red light, they're going to drag your butt out of that car and they're going to whip you. You think that's not crazy. I was in law enforcement. I remember this one particular lady, she was carrying on like that. And, you know, she was blinded by how arrogant she was and how she was barking all this stuff out at other people. And you have to stop at a red light. And so she was so prideful and so blinded by it that she had no idea that, and her door was unlocked. And so the lady behind her that she was yelling at stopped behind her, says, well, I'm going to go explain a few things to her. And she got out of her car. She went up to the lady, opened up her car door, and drug her out of her car. But isn't that the same thing the lady was doing in the car? She was doing it with words. She was throwing knives and pridefully at these other. I mean, who do we think we are? If we're Christians, and I'm not saying this particular person was a Christian, but if we're Christians, we should not be doing that. You know, we should be willing to be last in the line. We're okay if a traffic light stops us because we're supposed to be humble and trust in God that God's, for some reason, he wants us to stop. We're not like, what's wrong with this world? And that's just prideful arrogance and blinding. And so that person that struggles with strife, you know, with pride, they're blinded to the fact that this whole cloud is around them. And so whether they go out and go play ball, do a sport with somebody, everybody goes, oh, great. Here comes him. Here comes her. You know, I mean, and it's amazing. But think about this. There was so much pride in the religious world that when Jesus himself, when God himself was standing there in the presence of people that were so blinded by their pride, they looked God square in the face, you know, the face of God, Jesus Christ, just look in the face, and they called him Satan. Why? And they created all kinds of strife everywhere Jesus went. Why? Because they were blinded by their pride and they were the ones creating all the trouble till they finally nailed Jesus to the cross. And if he wouldn't have let them nail him to the cross, then, you know, it would still be going even to this day in the context of that. But thank you, Jesus. So we're talking about, you know, one of the ways to prepare life in general, because we're supposed to be loved. Think about it. If there's so many people say this and they literally blame folks for their entire life. Nobody loved me. You know, I don't feel loved. You know, I don't feel love in this marriage. I don't feel love in this family. My boss don't love me. It's like, well, he doesn't love you. Right? You know, I'm hanging around my church and my church doesn't love me. And you have to understand that if you have a spirit of strife on you, it wars against the very thing that you want in your life. By the way, it wars against God because God is love. So you got to make up your mind. Am I going to deal with the pride of my life so that I can feel the love of God? God loves you. God laid down his son for you. The question is he going to resist you because he resists the proud? Or are you going to humble yourself, get rid of the pride, and he's going to give grace to you where you're going to experience the love of God? The love of God just casts out all fear. The love of God encourages you. He loves you. But you got to love yourself less You know what I'm saying? Because men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You got to make up your mind. Am I going to love God and trust God with loving me? So this is cartoon character. Is he like the dirtbag? What's the name of
him? Pigpen.
Pigpen. Pigpen. So this is like a pigpen of strife. This is what the pigpen of strife looks like, because no matter where this person goes, and since they understand this, they're blinded. So they don't know that they're the source of this thing. They really don't. And that's how they can sleep really well while they destroyed an entire church. They can sleep really well while they destroyed, you know, a move of God, you know, an altar call. I don't know what I'm saying, because they don't even know. They're just blinded by the pride in their life. And so you can have compassion for them. Now you understand. It's like, oh, it's just pride. Matter of fact, take a look at this. So you're looking at, I mean, think about this. Everywhere this particular cartoon character went, they had this cloud around them in every aspect of their life. I mean, at some point, you got to be honest with yourself. If you've moved where you live, if you're in your third relationship, if you're on your fifth job, you're on your sixth church, and you're seeing a consistent pattern that there seems to be no love in all those places, you have to ask yourself, am I walking in pride? I mean, because these individual experiences in your life, they don't know each other.
Right,
the only thing they have in common is you, right?
Yep.
Which is okay. I mean, we all, you know, struggle with pride, and we got to say, God, I'm going to lay that down. God, forgive me for the pride in my life. You know, I'm just going to trust you and begin to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You're not going to be God, you know, because when you say, I know better than God, and I'm rebuking God, and that's, I mean, I've seen these things. I've seen... You know, people just, you know, are so blinded that they start speaking like Korah did against Moses, and they're speaking and rebuking like a Moses who's got an anointing on his or her life. And it's like, you're so blinded, you don't understand. It has nothing to do with Moses. It has to do with what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So humility is where we don't know everything.
Right.
We're not worried about what we look like. As a matter of fact, we don't mind, as Paul said, I'm like the last in the procession of a parade, where all the dung is at the end of a parade. And he was okay with that. He says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And he was not trying to lift himself up. He said, you know, he talks about his inner struggles, and he put himself on the reality of my total dependencies on Jesus Christ. Oh, that I might know him and fellowship with him in his suffering and power. And that when we humble ourselves, we realize that we all need God. But you know what? God responds to that. It's okay to look at God and say, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. And pride says, you know, I've got to figure this out. I've got to, it's all in your head, you know? And think about it. Okay, the universe is huge, and everything is large, and your brain is, I mean, even though you think it's big, it's really compared to, you know, it's like, you know, finite. And then they say we're only using 10% of it. And you know, we don't even use that part well. And as you get older, you find, I was like, I don't think I'm using that. Look at me, 8-7% or something.
Right.
And so it's just arrogance versus saying, you know, the God that created my brain, the God that created me in his image and his likeness wants fellowship with me. But if I don't get rid of the strife in my life and my pride in my life, he's going to resist me because I'm saying I'm God. And one of the difficulties right now in America, I believe, while we're going through the storm that's happening and going to happen, according to Bob Jones, these next 2 years are going to be horrifically tough. According to what we've been shown, they're going to be horrifically tough. According to what Rick Joyner's been shown in Morningstar Ministry, it's going to be horrifically tough. According to what John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, in, it's going to be tough. According to John Paul Jackson, what he's been shown is going to be tough. According to Chuck Pierce in Corinth, Texas, it's going to be tough. According to Mike Bickle with Kansas City International House of Prayer, it's going to be. I mean, how many people do we need? Yeah. According to BB, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, it's being tough right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like what's happening in the natural is happening in the spiritual, because strife is like knife. So everywhere you go, if you don't deal with the strife, people feel like you're cutting them with your words, you're cutting them with your actions, and you're blinded by what you don't do. So when you watch the news and go to yesterday's program and see yesterday's program and watch what's happening in Israel, because there is a uprising called the Knife Uprising. Remember, God just spoke to me and showed me in a vision, this specifically is what's going on in the church, and we've got to deal with the pride, and the strife will go. And guess what comes? Love comes. And we're supposed to be known by our love. We can't go out there and strife our way to righteousness. We can't fight our way and pride our way to be in a better nation and going back to our original tent. We got to humble ourselves in the presence of God, like positioning ourselves. And this is going to be made available to, I want this available to all of our partners out there, that it's a positioning yourself to be able to receive from God like Jehoshaphat did. Mm. And when he did that, because he had to repent for bad relationships. He made some very bad relationships. Even though it was people that professed to be and they were part of God's folks, they went rebellion. They were in rebellion against God. And so God dealt with him with that. And he humbled himself. And guess what? He cried out to God. God told him what to do. And when he humbled himself, put God in the right place again in his life and those that he was over, God delivered them from the enemy and everything was put back right again. Listen, this is so important. You need to position yourself, your marriage, your family, your office, your business. I mean, everywhere you have a sphere of authority, you need to say, I want to make it right. And you're obligated as a person who loves God to tell your family, because he says that you're worse than an unbeliever if you don't prepare them. And if you're going like, we don't need to prepare ourselves. We don't need to sign up for the Torch newsletter and listen to prudent preparation. Listen, that's not going to be well. And God says that's worse than an unbeliever. I want to encourage you. That's why we're here. Listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Dear Lord, forgive us for the pride and the arrogance in our life and the people that we hurt because we wouldn't deal with the pride because of the strife that was going on. Help us not to be like this. What's that cartoon character?
Pigpen.
Pigpen is strife, because And the thing about it, the only know if you're a person that is a pigpen of strife, you got to ask people around you, because a prideful person, if you ask them, are you the root of all these problems? Of course they're going to tell you what?
No, not me.
I'm blinded, as Rick Joyner says, in the vision he had with Final Quest, by a banner of self-righteousness. Dear Lord, have mercy on America. Have mercy on the church. Save us. Bring a third great awakening. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.